Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine BP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Dr. Kevin Morse. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Great for a Monday morning.
Yeah, right. good.
Should I start singing? Da na 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 na. You say it's your birthday.
Oh, that's right. Mom's birthday today.
Today is Mom's birthday. Yep.
You're remarkably young. You know, your mom looks younger than you do.
I know.
I mean, you look pretty good for your age.
She probably feels younger than I do, too.
Depends on the morning.
What's your mom's name?
Mary.
Mary. Oh, I love Mary.
Yeah, I guess.
It is also my mother's birthday today.
Debbie. Oh, no kidding.
So Mary and Debbie share a good birthday.
See, the problem is Doc's a really good gift giver. He doesn't know what to get his mom.
Oh, I would send her that pimento cheese tip that you sent me.
I would get her an opportunity to watch the final Veep with you. Doc, you want to know what happened on Veep?
No. Nope. Don't tell people.
Oh, boy.
No, but having a birthday so close to Mother's Day is like being born so close to Christmas.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Right?
Yeah, it's not fair.
Yep.
So did you guys get her some big shindig situation going down yesterday?
No, you know what? In the morning, little Jerry took her to brunch.
Oh, the mayor.
And then, I got to have, I had dinner with her, so it was nice. And then today, my sister Denise will take her to dinner, so yeah, she does okay today.
Denise, of course, the best of the most children.
Yes.
Yeah, no question.
By far.
And you took her to dinner where? Like Portillo's drive-thru, or what'd you do?
No, actually, you know what? She wanted pizza, so we had pizza and salad at her house.
Oh, that's cool.
From Gennario's in Winfield. So
that's
it was
great.
Real good pizza, and we just had some time to sit and talk, so it was good.
Oh, Gennario's is the best.
Pizza and salad is the
best. One in Lombard, too.
Pizza and salad is a great combo. I like to put my salad on top of my pizza and eat it.
No.
What's wrong with you?
But seriously. I don't use dressing.
Seriously, address that issue. What's wrong with you?
I do. It tastes good.
But salad on pizza.
Yeah, they do like in Europe.
You know what salad on pizza is? An accident. Somebody spilled salad on the pizza.
That's just wrong.
Crazy.
Try it. Don't knock it till you try it. But I don't use dressing, so I use dry salad, if that makes sense.
No, none of it makes sense. I'm going to be really honest with you. It's 6:46, and Doc, we took the moms to...
Somebody spilled salad.
Yeah, I mean, that's just not right. We took the moms to Santorini last night.
Thanks.
And you know, because if you eat in the city or you have meetings in the city or whatever, you valet park. You almost right. have to. I always forget where I put the valet parking ticket. You know, I don't know what pocket
this
it's
is why
in.
Why you need Uber?
And this is where, and then I stand up and I look like I'm patting myself down, like I'm going through security at the airport.
Right.
You know, and the guy goes, "Well, that guy's got some issues." Look at him over there, touching himself. Yeah. But you know, I've got to come up with a standard valet parking ticket spot.
Do you
I mean,
carry
why don't
a
I
wallet?
Put it in a wallet?
Yeah,
just
yeah.
put it in a wallet.
Yeah, it's easy.
Why can't I put it in a wallet? What's the matter with me? All right, we're out of time, Doc. Nice.
Okay.
Thanks for dropping
by. Nice talking to you guys.
Actually, there's a scary story that'll affect almost no one, but I want to throw this out right away because I'd never, ever even thought about it. A little 11-year-old girl died from toothpaste. Now, before you freak out, just know that this girl had an acute dairy allergy, and this particular brand of toothpaste had as a minor ingredient some derivative of dairy. The family was, you know, crazy about making sure she was never exposed to dairy. But the mother for years had checked and never saw anything remotely close to dairy in toothpaste. The dentist who recommended this toothpaste also didn't know that it had dairy in the ingredients, even though he was aware of the allergy, and she died. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, we take allergies and sometimes just think of them as an inconvenience, but for many people, they are life-threatening. Even something, you know, as simple as some kids with peanut allergies can have very, very severe allergic reactions. But for the majority of us, allergies are just a nuisance. But we do have to realize that people are highly allergic. They're not freaking out because they want to freak out. They're freaking out because they know they're supposed to stay away from some ingredients.
And it's just got to be so just nerve-wracking for parents of kids with allergies because you just got to go, well, don't eat that till I know what's in it, right? I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, that's why, you know, a lot of people are upset. Boy, you, when we went to school, we used to have treat days and used to have those things. Well, we can't do that anymore just because of the number of kids with allergies that are highly sensitive allergies. So we're unfortunately living in a world where we have more allergens, more things that we're allergic to, and the allergens are actually becoming stronger.
Last night at 60 Minutes, there was a big piece on generic drug pricing. So let's talk drug pricing, can we?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, drug pricing is probably one of the most confusing things that we can talk about, because the drug manufacturer will set a price. Then that price will go to your insurance company, and there's a pharmacy benefits manager, you probably heard the PBM. Mm-hmm. They negotiate a price from the drug manufacturer. The drug manufacturer, the PBM, then decides based on your plan what you pay. But if you saw the piece on 60 Minutes, what it was last night was generic prices have been so low and then all of a sudden jumped up, and it looks like there was some collusion between companies as far as generic pricing. We're supposed to get a big discount when a company goes from a normal price medication to generic, because they have had 16 years to get back that money that they had to put into R&D to develop that drug. And now the generic price should be the price that's a fair and equal price across the board.
And here's the thing. The companies deserve a profit. That's fine. They also deserve to recoup their R&D costs in a sensible way. But there's nobody in the drug industry who can tell you that a 4,000 and 8,000%, these are not made up numbers, increase in drug pricing is taking care of that. That's absolute greed.
Correct. And if you looked at the, if you watched the piece on 60 Minutes, that spike happened at once. You know, it was going on. So it wasn't, you know, we should be looking at manufacturing becoming more efficient. They should be able to make their cost of goods lower because of efficiencies in the supply chain and efficiencies in the distribution and efficiencies in the manufacturing. So if anything, you would see that those prices would stabilize or go lower. This was obviously, you know, when you're talking about drugs that used to be $10 and now are $150, you know, that's crazy. Something's going on there that you can't describe in the normal manufacturing and distribution process.
And they know for a fact, because again, the 60 Minutes piece, which I'm sure you can see on demand, pointed out that this the Attorney General's office in Connecticut and a couple of really hardworking attorneys got to the bottom of this, and there's lawsuits pending and lawsuits to be settled here and there, and it's going to take a long time. But these generic manufacturers, including two of the top three companies, were dumb enough to send text messages to each other. I'm jacking the price up tomorrow. How about you? That kind of thing.
Yeah, text messages, phone calls. I mean, it's kind of crazy. And it, and if you remember in the news last week, you know, they announced, hey, we're going to start putting pricing for regular drugs that you see on television ads actually in the ad. So we're going to be a lot, there's going to be a lot of confusion around pricing of drugs here recently. And you know what? And I mean, it again, it depends on what the consumer pays is based on their insurance plan. You know, we have a good insurance plan here. I pay, you know, zero for generics that are medications that are constant for my health, blood pressure, you know, cholesterol-lowering drugs. Other companies might say, hey, I want the individual to have skin in the game. I want them to pay $10 for generic. So it's really, it's a very confusing subject that's only going to get more confusing.
But the people that really get hurt are the people that either don't have the coverage for the drug they take or are paying cash for any other reason and then get caught off guard.
Correct. Yep.
So what's going to happen?
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see the impact of this. You know, one, I would hope that you would see from the 60 Minutes piece that somebody really takes a look at that and generic prices come back down. Because even though you say, well, wait a second, you just told me you don't pay anything for your generic medications when you go based on your plan, we still are paying. Our premiums are still going up, so it's still buried in that price. It's not like the insurance company is giving them away. As far as the pricing on the TV ads, I just hope it doesn't scare people away from going to see the doctor. These TV ads, although you listen to, you know, the side effects, you're like, oh, I'd never take that drug. But it also highlights the disease process that they're trying to get you to take the drug for. Many patients look at that and say, wait, I have those symptoms. I never knew that that's what it was. I'm going to go see a doctor now.
Is it one of those things where consumers can reach out to legislative people to say, hey, this is wrong, or is it not one of those things, Doc, that anyone can...
No, this should definitely be one of those, Mary. This should be anybody who has seen a big increase in the generic price of a medication that they're paying after watching that 60 Minutes should be on the phone with their congressman or senator saying, hey, this needs to be taken care of because I am getting abused here. I used to pay $10. Now I'm paying $140 for the exact same medication. Someone needs to explain why that happened and why it happened so quickly. And that 60 Minutes piece sure makes it look like there was collusion between the two of them, or between two parties, to make sure that they maximize profits.
Less deadly but highly annoying, terrible allergy season in Chicago.
Tired of paying for parking blocks away just so you can make that five-minute meeting? Well, I'm here to solve all your parking hassles. Hi, I'm Joe, founder of Joe's Car Sitting Service. I've been sitting in cars for 6 years now, which is practically 10 full years. You know how there's always an open spot right outside your building, but there's that pesky fire hydrant in the way? Well, don't worry about writing a ticket, officer. Old Joe's behind the wheel for this one. All I charge is the change in your cup holder and anything I might consider valuable in your car. I've sat in Blackhawk star Brian Bickle's car for 9.5 minutes.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're really skilled.
I almost sat in cars owned by Dean Richards, Frank Caliendo, and even Coach Joel Quinville considered it. So next time, don't wuss out for a pricey parking spot. Just call Joe's Car Sitting Service. I put the car back in care.
So is that... Did I forget that? When I invented Moober, did I forget that Joe did that like 5 years ago?
Yeah, it sounds like you may or may not have stolen an idea.
From myself.
Yeah, maybe it was your idea.
Because Joe was an intern on the show, and I sent Joe out to sit in Brian Bickle's car when Bickle was illegally parked, which is the whole point of Moober, mobile Uber.
Yeah, but did that other thing have an app, though? You have an app this time, so that may be the difference, right? More technology.
I think you're right, and he has the trendy name.
Yeah.
I believe I have only stolen from myself. Mm-hmm. So, but boy, am I angry with myself, Doc.
Yeah. If I was Joe, I'd be a little angry, too. But
I remember when he looked at me and I said, we only do what? Let's just go out and sit in Brian Bickle's car and don't take anything. the perks of show business. Back with Dr. Kevin Most. A little split service here. We thank you for that, Doc. But sure. This allergy topic's too big to do and not enough time to do it. So let's get into it here. Why do my eyes itch more this year?
Yeah, how about it? You know, when we look at allergies this year, think about it. We just had snow, a couple weeks ago? But if you notice what's happened here in the past probably 10 days, look at what's happened with the trees in this area. So we know in the spring the biggest allergies that we're concerned about are the tree allergies, and they are popping now in a very condensed way. Just because trees are smart, they know when they're going to come out, they know what the temperature has to be, and now you're going to start to see it over these next couple weeks. Anybody with tree allergies, you know, get your boots on, because this is going to be a compact, tough year for allergens.
Daily Allegra, is that the idea?
Yeah, you know, really, if you know what you're allergic to, so let's say you're allergic to, you know, cottonwood trees. You know, look at the trees, look at what you're allergic to, and what we really try to do is try to take people to start their allergy medicine a couple weeks before. You're playing a little catch-up once the pollen starts to get out there. So if you get started a week or two before, great. You've missed that opportunity for trees. You certainly haven't missed that opportunity for grass and ragweed in the future.
Is there catch-up? Does catch-up work? In other words, if I took it too late for trees?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll be fine for catch-up. It's just a matter of you're going to have a couple days of suffering before the Claritin actually kicks in, or Allegra, whichever one you happen to work with you.
Has it gotten worse, or are we making that up?
No, it's gotten worse. So, you know, the increased CO2, the allergens, so the pollen actually is more allergenic. So people would say, you know what, I never have allergies. And then this year they have it, and they're like, oh, I have a cold. No, you have allergies. It's just that your body has hit a point now where they get exposed to some things, and now it's going to be a little more sensitive. So we're starting to see more people with allergies, not less people. And as we talked before, some of these allergies are getting much stronger because of the exposures that we're having.
CNN reported there was more CO2 in the atmosphere yesterday than in any other time in recorded human history. Now, I have no idea how that's determined. But that science statement, and you just said the extra CO2 in the atmosphere, in this case, massive amounts, obviously, that makes it worse.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got to remember, trees take in CO2 and push off oxygen, so that's very good. It's one of the good things that trees do, but when they have a lot more CO2, they're going to be a lot more pollen that's produced. And probably the most important thing is we're going to hit 70s this week, and everybody wants to air out their houses and open their houses because they haven't had them open all winter. And it's probably the worst thing you can do if you have tree allergies, because you're going to take that pollen that's outside and bring it into the house. So now your inside of your house is just going to be as bad as the outside.
Does the pollen live for a long time?
No, it really doesn't. It just kind of hangs around for a little bit. And then actually a good rain will wash it all down. So, you know, the rain has definitely helped. But now with the trees pollinating even more right now, you're going to start to. So even people that are outside in the yard a lot, you know, if you're outside doing a lot of yard work on the weekend, when you go in, take a shower, get that pollen out of your hair. Get it off your skin.
Get the clothes off.
Get the clothes off. Get them in the washer. You don't want to bring the pollen inside is probably one of the biggest things.
All right. So Claritin, Allegra, Zizol, Zyrtec. How do we know which one?
You don't. Actually, it's kind of interesting. You think, oh, these are all the same. They're kind of like antibiotics, but they're not. So you have to find one that works for you. Claritin may not work for me, but it may work great for you. Allegra may work great. So they're all non-sedating antihistamines. So they're not like the Benadryls that used to put us to sleep if you took 25 or 50 milligrams. So these are non-sedating, so at least you can take them and function during the day. But you might have to try a couple to figure out which one's actually going to block the symptoms that you have.
Sandberg's like a Benadryl dealer.
Well, I am. But, well, I use Flonase every day. That's because I used to use Claritin years ago, and then it just stopped working. Because I'm allergic to everything on the planet except for horse hair and feathers. But I do have backup Benadryls. I have them in my desk. I have them in my purse. And I hand them out to people whenever they're having, you know, an emergency situation like a cat.
But you're the one that doesn't fall asleep.
Right. It doesn't make me fall asleep. It makes me a little
I walk by Benadryl in the aisle at Walgreens, and I take a nap at the end of the aisle.
Oh. Yeah, some people are very sensitive to Benadryl. 25 milligrams will knock them out. And Mayor talks about Flonase. You know, Flonase is anti-inflammatory, so it takes down the inflammation in our sinuses and our nose to make our congestion less. You know, the antihistamines work totally differently by blocking the release of histamine. So it really depends on your symptoms as far as what medications. So although they're all over the counter, it's often a good idea to talk to a doctor and let them tailor which medications are going to work for you.
All right. What about Flonase? That's different, right?
Yeah. Flonase, it's a steroid-based medicine, so it's going to take down inflammation. When we get allergies, we often get very congested in the sinuses and in the nose. This Flonase will at least block that and take that inflammation down, make it easier for you to breathe, make it easier for you to actually clear some of the stuff that's built up in your sinuses. So we use Flonase not only with allergies, but we often use it with people with sinus infections as well.
Can we still get addicted to nasal spray?
Well, the one that you get addicted to is a neosinephrine one. That's one that's going to take down it's a vasoconstrictor, and that's one that you can get addicted to. So really, not too many doctors are going to ever recommend that. And people
need
to know.
Well, that's the Afrin, right?
Correct.
You use the medical term. I know when I've had sinus infections before, sometimes the doctor has said, your sleep is more important than your fear of addiction to Afrin. So take the Afrin before bed just so you can breathe, so you can get some sleep, so you can heal, you know.
Yep. And that's okay as long as it's for a couple of days. Some people get used to it, and now they're at day 30, and we're like, now we have a little bit of a problem because now we have to slowly wean you off.
Yeah, I'm not exaggerating. I worked for a guy in New York City who was addicted to it and had to go into a rehab. He had to do like a 30-day, get off the drug.
The guys in the producer booth know when I've had to take it, I talk about my fear of addiction for it because it's nothing better. It clears it up instantly.
Yeah, and then as soon as you stop taking it, shut your nose down.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's why cocaine is so much more sensible. What? And, of course, the allergy testing is still far from perfect, right? I mean, as much as we know, we still got to do the scratch tests and other things.
Yeah, it really is. You know, in the people that say, well, should I get allergy testing? I say, you know, it depends. How bad are your allergies? Because they'll tell you then, well, you're allergic to ash trees. Okay, well, then don't plant three ash trees in your backyard and make sure that you know when that's going to hit so then you can tailor your medications for it. If you really don't have bad allergies, it's may not be worth it. But then there's also people that say, I don't want to take medication for the rest of my life, so I'm going to go in and get tested, and then I'm going to get treatment by getting quote-unquote allergy shots, where the doctor, the ear, nose, and throat doctor, the allergist actually takes away the reaction to these, and many people have great relief and great we don't have to take medications in the future because of the treatment.
Yeah, my daughter's going through this now, as you know, because I know she's talked about it, and it's a lot of work, but
it is.
It's what you have to do to figure out through the elimination tests and the scratch tests to figure out what's happening. It's got to be sort of maddening for allergists, I would think, right? Because it's one big game.
Absolutely. It's so frustrating for them. And, you know, we want things now. We want to, you know, give me something I can take care of so it's gone today. You know, with allergy shots and allergy testing, this is a long-time process. This can be years for people in order to get to the place where they have, where the symptoms aren't as bad as they were in the past.
There's a myth out there about a link to Alzheimer's. I understand it's a myth. Tell me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong. You know, we have all these myths out there about these links, and until we get a better idea of what the triggers are for Alzheimer's, it's going to be you'll start to hear more and more and more. You know, we're concerned, is it about inflammation in the brain? Is it about how do we trigger this protein that's being built up in Alzheimer's? So there's a lot of science going on behind it, and a lot of people who jump to those myths and say, this is why.
Last question, is there anything new on the horizon, like a blood test or anything that could change all this?
Yeah, you know, probably the newest thing that we're looking at is, you know, for this, the immune system turns on for a reason that we don't need it to turn on, right? Why would we be allergic to a tree pollen? So what they're looking for is, how can we turn that off? We know that there's some allergies that we need to stay away from. Rubbing up against poison ivy is going to make our skin very irritated, but it really is no reason for it. So if we can figure out what that trigger is and turn it off by a shot or by a medication, you may see some huge release in allergy. You and I walking down the street, if you're allergic to a poplar tree and I'm not, why are you congested and I am? We're going to get to the same place. If science can figure out how to turn that off, then we'll see these huge reliefs, and it may just be you get one allergy shot, like a flu shot each year, and it takes care of your allergies.
Thanks for all the extra time today, Doc.
You got it, man. Talk to you guys soon.
That's Dr. Kevin Most. Happy birthday to his mom, Mary, again. And happy birthday to your mom as well.
Thank you.